This is Conversation. I'm Bud Riley. Our conversation tonight is about travel, but a very specific kind of travel in a very specific place. It's rail travel in Britain. And with me is our travel specialist, the author of many books on aviation and travel, David Collins. David, you were in Britain and you traveled by train.
And I found it to be an ambling experience using a BritRail pass, which you purchase before you leave Canada, and just take to the rails. It's a wonderful experience because you stand at a major London termini, look up at the departure boards, and say, that's a train for me. No lining up, no bother, your pass is your gateway, and away you go, whether you go for a couple of hours or whether you go for a long-distance journey. The railway is your free pass of freedom. It's a wonderful way to go.
What does it cost to get a Brit rail pass?
Well, a first-class pass costs, for 2 weeks, $275 Canadian.
You can save a lot of money on that, can you?
If you use it. This is the art. If you use it. If you just use it for one or two journeys, well, then you're going to break even. But if you use it for a number of journeys and for shooting here and there, you know, it's only an hour to Brighton, the Prince Regent's favorite resort, from London. And there you are by the Channel. It's only 2 hours up to York, to the beautiful York Minster. You can do it in a day easily. And if you use the passes, they're first rate. And it's just a way to ease yourself into a travel pattern. Now, for longer distances, you have to plan, because I went down, for instance, on the famous Cornish Riviera Express down to Penzance and made my way on a very wet day, not by train, of course, to Land's End, and rather feebly waved to Canada in the distance, but that's another story. But getting down there by train was just about 5 hours from London.
And is it a comfortable trip for you?
Very nowadays. People grumble about British Rail sometimes, because, especially if you're a Briton, because it's government-owned, and therefore the slings and arrows shoot out. I mean, before I left on various journeys, my family at home were grumbling me about the commuter service to London, which they took every day, and there I was sailing away, but whatever you do on railway lines to various places, and they were saying, well, why can't they do something about this? But considering the number of trains running on Brit Rail system per day, it's 14,000 trains together serving 2,000 stations. It's a mammoth task.
Do they have buses in that country? If they have a rail service,
they have buses. But traveling by train is just an ambling experience. You leave your cares behind. I mean, now for someone like me who does not drive a car, for instance, has kept death off the road literally, train travel is an easy way of going. You leave your cares behind, and they're not talking in an advertising sense here either. You just sit back, and on a long-distance train journey, you look out of the rolling hills of England or Wales or wherever it is, and just take back what it is, and wander down to the buffet car for a coffee and bring it back. And the trains are much improved since, I guess, in the past 5 or 10 years, they've, especially high-speed trains, what they call the intercity 125s.
Is Britain a country of double track?
Oh, yes. I mean, several.
That's the only way you can get 14,000 trains to pass
each
other safely.
You have to be very careful, yes.
Yeah.
It's very carefully worked out. But it's just that kind of freedom of passage that is so exhilarating. And you meet all sorts of people on a train, too. I mean, you're relaxed.
Is it still a romantic experience?
Oh, it is, and if I may just quote here, something that really sums it all up. Especially when you're standing in a major London railway station like Paddington or somewhere like that, that goes back in history. Railway termini are our gates to the glorious and the unknown. That's from Herd's End by Edward Morgan Forster. And it sums up, because a major London railway station is rather like a docks before a ship leaves. You get that same sensation. Now, I don't. I mean, I am rather romanticizing here, but that's my nature.
They're not throwing confetti and little rolls.
No, they are some rollbacks, too.
What about the comfort? We got some hints that the local people don't think it's very comfortable on the commuter service, but...
It depends on the type of rolling stock, the type of service you're on, whether you're on an express service or whether you're on one of the modern intercity trains, the 125s. They're about the most modern. They have very modern rolling stock, wide carriages, and even the doors open between the carriages. Instead of having to fight with those wonderful doors you used to have to fight with where you were crossing from one coach to the other and you had to struggle with them while you went through, you were kind of in the old days. And not going back to Queen Victoria's time, but...
What are you talking about? The doors that open on the outside of the train?
No, on the inside, when you're going from one carriage to the other down the corridor.
Oh, between the trains.
Yeah, and you had to open them. And the thing we'll be jogging about. Now, these just open for you in front of you, you know?
So you step on a...
That's right.
You just track and it opens.
We don't step on the track, but I mean...
Well, a pad.
That's right. You step on a pad and it opens and it's... And the seats are well arranged. There's plenty of space, which I appreciate. And nowadays, of course, you have tables between you if you want to use them, which is useful if you're writing something down or something like that.
Do they still have those trains where the doors open on the outside
and you
step into each compartment?
Yes, they have a mixture of railways. Yeah.
Were you on any of those in your last trip?
Oh, yes, where you have to lean out of the window open, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're still there.